spoken of. It is the you that is in it. Now, when I'm saying this, it's not your spirit. It's that what your spirit produces inside of you. Your heart, your will, your thought process, and all of this. It ought to say something to us of all the times that heart is mentioned directly. I think it's right at 100 times, but alluded to multiple hundreds of times about your heart. Your brain's not mentioned once. So God focuses on who you are spiritually. We need to understand this because you and I are spiritual beings. Your brain is used as a function to make everything in your body work. But you are separate. The real you, you spiritual you, are going to live forever. And yes, you're going to have a body, and yes, that body is going to be glorious, and yes, you're going to be able to serve the God forever and ever and ever. But your spirit, and God created you to love you in spirit. In order for me to worship God, he says I must worship him in spirit and in truth. I must spiritually worship my Father in heaven. The truth is through Jesus. Jesus is truth. I worship him in spirit and in truth. And I am not to harden my heart. He's talking about the real me on the inside. Sometimes life is so overwhelming. Everything hits at the same time, and we become hardened. God said, don't do that. You see, during those times through your life, you need to understand that God is still in control. You may have lost control, but God has not lost control. He has not lost control over your life. He has not lost control over what's going on in the world. He watches. He evaluates. And he still loves me. Did you ever think you just did something so bad, so horrible, that there's no way in the world that God's ever going to forgive you for that one? And then you wake up one day, and you realize you're forgiven. But the Lord wanted you to know that right at the beginning. But because of the hardening of your heart, you didn't accept his call. Listen to Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. Growing up, I feel so sorry for young folk. I felt sorry for me as a young person. Because my heart got broke all the time. I mean, it just did. You would get your mind set on somebody, and you adored those individuals. I don't care whether it's adults or whether it's kids. Yeah, I fell in love in the third grade. And my heart was just broken. Because it was obvious she didn't feel the same way about me. But you see, that's who we are. We want to love and to experience that love. And we want to express love. And it breaks our heart when someone does not reciprocate or someone does not return that love. It breaks our heart. Well, how do you think God feels? When God so loved that he gave his only begotten son to die on that cross for you and me, to give his all so that we would forever and ever be with Him and receive His blessings. He created me to love me. And then within this creation of me and the creation of you, He gave us the ability to love Him back. We are the only one of His creation that can do that. What a love! What a heart! It is the wellspring of life. Do we not hear all of those examples? You know, he's got to get his heart right. That boy's heart's not right. You say it about yourself. I just didn't have the heart to do it. Those are feelings. Those are emotions. Those are relations. But when God looks at us, he's dealing with our character. Now, I want you to pay attention to this because I'm not trying to justify anything. But here's what I want you to understand. The importance of your heart relation to God is more important than anything you will ever do in your life. King David found that out. God, in speaking of David, said, "He is a man after my own heart." I will bless David. And boy, did he ever. But David was a mess. I mean, he messed up continually. Bathsheba? Well, not just that. He was guilty of murder. He was guilty of going against his own friends, causing them to get killed. He was guilty of all of these things. And God says, he's a man after my own heart. Why? Because David wanted to do what God told him to do. And you know what David had to deal with? He had to deal with his life and his battles. Each one of us have a heart condition in our own individual life to where we have to go through that battle time and time again. But God is looking to me as I fight those battles of sin, of the hurt, of the pain that you may cause others. But God says, get your heart right. Focus on me, and I'll walk with you. I'll lead you through. I'll forgive you. I mean, I've told you many times how we put ourselves in the ditch of life, but God always pulls us out when we look to Him and cry out to Him. That's love. That's having a heart, God's heart, so great, He has a heart for me. He has a heart for you. And he says, I want to see your heart directed at me. And you and I, we will battle all the feelings and emotions in this human existence. But one thing this human existence can never, ever destroy within us as a heart given to us by our Creator. That's that spiritual being, that well-being that is that purpose in your life to where you can relate directly to your God. But look at the hardened heart. Just think about how many times that we harden our heart. Hebrews 3:8. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Okay. Paul is telling the Hebrews, you remember when God led you out of bondage, sent Moses to do this, and then right in the middle of all the miracles, of all the blessings God has given you, right in the middle of the manna, right in the middle of a light by night and clouds by the day, right in the middle of a rock giving you water, you rebelled against God. Be careful, he said, that you don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. Now listen to me. Get your heart right for the testing. Life is a test. All of life is a test. Boy, I flunked a lot of tests. All of life is a test. But do you know? I got a makeup. Yep.
Praise the Lord.
I got a makeup. His name Jesus. Jesus comes along and said, Larry, let's do a makeup. Because you have sure flunked enough test. I like the makeup test. But this one's so special. Because Jesus put his heart into it for me. Jesus put his heart into it for me. Jesus put his heart into it for me. Therefore, I realize the power of that blessing. Jesus said, I'm taking it all to the cross for you, Larry. I'm going to lift you up, Larry, because I love you. And I have a heart for you. And folks, you and I, when we give our heart to Jesus as Lord and Savior, accepting Him, that is our expression of having a heart for God. You see, I serve the Lord because I believe. I know that God is real. I know that Jesus is in me. I know that the power that He offers is a power throughout eternity. And He said, don't harden your heart. What hardened their heart? Well, the Scripture says during the time of testing, you and I go through a lot of testings in life. Everything is not always smooth, is it? Well, ladies, did your husband turn out exactly the way you thought he would? You've had to do a little reshaping and a remolding, and it still just ain't right yet. And God says that's what life is. And life sometimes becomes just like a wilderness, just like a desert, just like the Hebrew nation was going through. But He said, when you get in the middle of it, I want you to take a look. Where's the water coming from? Where's the food coming from? Who still loves you?
Amen.
Who still cares for you? Who still turns the lights on? Who still protects you from all the evil that is out there? I want you to remember and not harden your heart. Trust me. Because I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. Don't harden your heart. Let that heart be soft and acceptable to my love. You and I need to understand the great fact about God's heart for us. It is so great, He said, don't worry. Nothing can take you out of my hands. Jesus says, it ain't happening. See, when you said yes to me, Larry, I grabbed you. I'm holding on to you. I've already introduced you to my Father in heaven. I have a place prepared for you. And one of these days I'm coming to get you. And you're getting to come to your real home. I got a heart for you. Don't you dare harden your heart just because times are a little rough. Just because a few little cancers think that they got power over one of my creation. I'm going to get to go home and be with the Lord one day. But it's going to be when He says. Not when anything else has decided. Not happening. Because Jesus had a heart for me. And He showed me how great and how powerful that heart is. Well, Brother Randy, He went to the cross for me. He conquered. He forgave. He came down from that cross, placed in that tomb, 3 days later, he just conquered it all. Folks, it's a great story that I got to tell all the time. I tell it one way or the other every Sunday.
Hallelujah.
It's the story of your life and my life. You got it? It was all done on the cross for you. All was conquered when he went to the tomb. You see, my sins are washed away. Death has no power. Jesus conquered it. And he goes and prepares a place for me. And he said, I'm coming to get you. Folks, it is not a sad time. It is an awesome, exciting time. But to look forward to it is so powerful to me. I don't have time when I'm in this desert of life fighting all of this garbage. I do not have time to harden my heart, because there's a new day coming. You and I need to grasp that and not to harden our heart. You know what the Lord wants? The Lord pays attention to you when your heart is broken. Do you know that? Listen to this. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifice you desire, speaking to God, is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, O God. Somebody breaks your heart, take it to the Lord in prayer. When Satan breaks your heart, he's tricky that way. He makes you think one thing, and that thought is not true. He will deceive you on thinking foolishly. Those thoughts are not true. When you think someone hates you, or you think someone is disappointed in you, or you think someone doesn't love you, or you think someone doesn't do this right, doesn't do that, Satan puts all those doubts in your brain. I told you, he didn't talk about the brain in the Bible. He talked about your heart. That brain has messed us up, folks. How many times? Well, you know, I thought, Brother Larry, sometimes it'd be better if you just didn't think so much. Maybe you ought to depend more on your heart condition than on what that brain is telling you. God then looks at us and says, I desire to see that broken heart. What does he mean? He wants me to hurt? No, folks, don't catch me on this now. The broken heart is a figure of speech of saying, I recognize my guilt. I recognize my failure. I recognize my weaknesses. I recognize all of the hurt that I've caused others. I recognize that, and it breaks my spiritual heart that I've caused it to happen. Then you got the blessing. God's paying attention. When you recognize it is you and quit blaming everything that goes wrong in your life on something else, the world, or someone else, you'll never get a fix in your own life, in your own heart, until you accept that. That's the broken heart. That's the broken spirit. When you realize it's me. Oh, it's so easy blaming stuff on somebody else. But it doesn't fix your heart. The Lord says, come to me. Is that not what repentance is? Is that not repentance when you realize you're guilty? And you say, I'm sorry. And God recognizes at a broken heart, broken spirit. Then I want you to focus on the journey of the heart to the embittered heart. Oh, man. Embittered heart. People can get so angry and get so much of that anger up inside of them. Or allow life, allow the battles of life to hit you so hard. Isn't it horrible when you're going through life and then you realize that you've allowed someone else to control how you feel? Their actions. But see, when those actions are against you, it breaks your heart, don't it? When those actions seem like they've gone directly against you, it breaks your heart. But sometimes you can become embittered. That's a horrible way to feel. King David, he had three main choir leaders that he had. Asaph was one. It's not Asaph, it's Asaph was one. And listen to what he had to say, because he was hurting. Psalm 73, verses 21 and 22. Said, then I realized that my heart was bitter. See, when you think that you've got all this trouble, I want you to realize something. Everybody around you's got their troubles too. And you're not unique in that. It's each individual having life struggles. The other individual around you just has their life struggle. You have yours. They may be similar, but they are not the same. Nor can they be dealt with the same. Each individual must deal with it in an individual way. Listen to it. Then I realized my heart was bitter. And I was all torn up inside. Been there? You had that fire burning inside of you to where you're just, oh man, whether it's jealousy or hurt or brokenness or whatever, that fire that builds up is still the same. I was so foolish and ignorant. Yeah, been there. So foolish and ignorant. You look back and then you can say, you know, have you ever wondered, you know, why don't I catch it right at the beginning and look at myself in the mirror and say, you're so foolish and you're so ignorant. But we don't do that, do we? We wait till after the fact, after we've said something or done something that we wish we hadn't have said. We wish we hadn't have turned our back. We wish we hadn't done this, hadn't done that. Wonder why we don't stop and hit our knees before we get in that situation. It's because of the human existence. It's called the way you live, the journey that you have to go through as an individual. But God says, I want you to remember, it's a journey of your heart. It's keeping your character intact. It's keeping your will that I've given you, the intellect that I've given you, the feelings that I've given you. Let those feelings be the feelings of the love that only through me you can receive. And then all you have to do, look, Larry, I know you're a little shaky in so many things, but I will give you the love in which to love me back. God knew I'd mess the love up. God knew that whatever man touches, man taints. Wouldn't mess it up. I wouldn't even be able to wrap it right. Wouldn't mess it up. So Jesus says, here, I give this to you. It's love. Love for me, Larry. Give it back. The human nature, Lord, it feels good holding the love you give me. I like feeling good, Lord. If I give it back, will I lose that feeling? We try to bargain. Would you just try to love each other? Would you just give it back? Because whatever Jesus gives you, he's got plenty to keep giving. And it's based on whether you give it away. So God says, don't let yourself be embittered. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. He's talking to God. I could give Asaph the explanation there. No, I didn't think you were an animal. I thought you were a human being. You know, we humans can act a lot worse than animals. Oh, I know, we are of the animal species. But sometimes we go a little wild. And we act like the animals of the wild, when we ought to act like one that has been tamed by God's love, because he has a heart for me. And once I recognize that, then the tranquil heart will come. Listen to Proverbs 14:30. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. You be at peace with your God. Now, in being at peace with God will put you at odds with the majority of the world. You hear me? But you focus on your peace with God. And as you focus on your peace with God, he will give you an understanding and a feeling that of love so powerful, it will overshadow all that will attack you. When you're in the wilderness of life, in the desert place, when you're feeling like you're unloved, I want you to remember something. Jesus will always love you. He will always love you just like you are. After all, he is love. God is love. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Interesting statement there. Because God says, I am a jealous God. God says, I am a jealous God. That's because of love. Love that he had so powerful for his creation. That's why Satan's so afraid of our Creator God. So afraid of Jesus, God incarnate. Because God is a jealous God. And Satan has attacked his children. And he is already lost. Because God has a heart for me. He has a heart for you. And he says, I'll give you my heart. Give it back to me through love. By giving that love with those around you. Give it away. He's got plenty more for the day. That's the word of God. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to take the journey of our heart. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that it is your touch and is your will and it is your love that's within our life that supersedes all the hurt, pain, or anger that will come against us. Father, thank you for loving us. Now give us direction. And to the individual that you want us to express that love to, more and more continually. For we ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.